Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some of you may know that I spent this past Thursday in Atlanta. My main purpose for going back was to visit my sister, but I also spent time with my last pastor and my unofficial mentor. And over lunch, he showed me pictures of his two-week-old granddaughter, and I showed him pictures of our puppy. And after catching up on families, he asked me about my ministry here at Faith. He asked me the usual questions about what has been a gift to me and what keeps me up at night. But the real question that he wanted to ask me was, do they trust you? Because trust is the deepest measure of a relationship. We're faced with situations of trust all the time. We trust the one who does our taxes or keeps the church budget. We trust the teacher who at the end of the semester promises that we will have time to pull up that grade. We trust our boss who represents us in ranking and salary discussions. We trust the friend with whom we share our deepest secrets. Trust me, they say. And we do, or we try to. But trusting requires that we relinquish control, and it's out of our hands. I personally can't figure out what's wrong with my car, so I have to take it to a mechanic, and I have to trust that the mechanic will only fix what is broken and will charge me fairly. I can't cut my own hair, so I must sit in a chair and let someone I've known for maybe 2 minutes have a go at me with color and scissors, and trust that when I get up from that chair, I will be presentable. I let a big yellow bus pick up my kids every morning, and I trusted that the schools and the teachers would nurture and care and educate my precious children. And when a Tylenol and a good night's sleep doesn't fix it, I end up sitting on an exam table under a paper sheet, and I have to trust the doctor. It's hard enough for me to relinquish control and trust to the mechanic or the hairstylist or the doctor who I can see. But our faith requires us to trust completely in a God who we cannot see. Adam and Eve, the apple and the serpent, we know the story. The serpent tempts Adam and Eve and tells them to go on ahead and eat that apple. The serpent begins to undermine the relationship between Adam and Eve and God. And the serpent sows seeds of distrust, telling them that they won't die. And Adam and Eve ask each other, why didn't God tell them that if they ate the apple, that they'd be like God? Can they continue to trust in God when they don't know the whole story? Even though they know that God made them in God's image, their trust in God wanes, and instead they trust the serpent and each other, and they eat the apple. In the wilderness, the Israelites wander for 40 years, an entire generation. Moses says that period of wandering was to test them, to know what was in their heart and whether or not they would keep God's commandments. In the wilderness, they lack food and water, and the enemies just keep coming. The longer they wander, the weaker they become and the greater their temptations. And they succumb to their temptations. They build a golden calf to worship, trusting and depending on themselves instead of God. Relationships are weakened and tested. The Israelites ask over and over, where are you, God? Can they trust in a God when they don't know what's around the next corner, when they don't know the end of their story? So they fight God the whole way, wanting to be God's people, yet struggling to be God's people. Even though they know they are God's chosen people, their trust is not in God. Jesus is tempted too, but it's different. In Matthew, Jesus is baptized by John, and as he rises from the waters, the heavens open and the Spirit of God descends like a dove. And then a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, the Beloved." The identity of Jesus is crystal clear. Jesus is God's Son. But immediately after baptism, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus fasts. The humanity of Jesus is weakened and he's emptied. And it is then that the devil taunts Jesus and questions his relationship and trust in God. "Come on, Jesus, turn the stones into bread for yourself and all those hungry people out there. Think of how many that you can feed, Jesus. Come on, Jesus, jump off the mount and the angels will catch you. Come on, Jesus, if you just worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world and all the power that goes along with it." And Jesus is so famished, so depleted and empty, so vulnerable to temptations, that the only thing he has left to fight the devil with is Scripture. Scripture that remembers the trustworthiness of God. It's by being confident in his identity, knowing that he is God's beloved Son, that Jesus can resist the devil and all the temptations. Jesus' trust in God is complete. Jesus immediately goes from the waters of baptism to the testing of wilderness. It's a short trip for Jesus. It can be a short trip for us, too. Each Sunday, I come into this place to hear the word. I place water on my forehead in the shape of a cross to remind me of my baptism. I come for the bread and the wine to strengthen myself for the journey ahead. And I surround myself with all of you faithful Christians. And I pray in the Lord's Prayer that I will not be led into temptation. In this place, I am reminded who I am and whose I am. I am a child of God. But no sooner am I out that door than I am back in the wilderness, vulnerable to temptations, real temptations: lust, alcohol, power, money, security, love, health, control, drugs, image. Temptations that wrap me back around on myself, encouraging me to focus so much on myself and my needs that I forget who I am and whose I am. It is such a short journey between the waters of baptism and the temptations of the wilderness. As with Adam and Eve and the Israelites, we often don't know what's ahead for us either. We don't know the whole story. We don't see the end. And it can be in these moments of waiting for whatever is coming next when the temptation is the greatest. And it is then that we must know with confidence that we are children of God and we must give our lives over to God. And no one can ever take this away from us. No matter what we do, we can never lose our identity as children of God. And because we know who we are and whose we are, we can trust that God will be waiting with us. Frederick Buechner, in his book Telling Secrets, shares a story about an incredibly difficult time in his life. He writes, "I remember sitting parked by the roadside once, terribly depressed and afraid, when out of nowhere a car came along down the highway with a license plate that bore on it the one word, out of all words in the dictionary, that I needed most to see exactly then. The word was trust. What do you call a moment like that?" he writes. "Something to laugh off is the kind of joke life plays on us every once in a while. The word of God." He wrote, "I am willing to believe that maybe it was something of both, but for me it was an epiphany. The owner of the car turned out to be, as I'd expected, a trust officer in a bank. And not long ago, having read an account I wrote of the incident somewhere, he found out where I lived, and one afternoon brought me the license plate itself, which sits propped up on a bookshelf in my house to this day." Buechner continues, "It's rusty around the edges and a little battered, and it's also as holy a relic as I've ever seen. On the days when I'm in the pit, when the wilderness isn't just something theoretical out there, but is something in me, when the end is known only to God, I need to be reminded to trust God and to remember that I am a child of God. And sometimes I too need God to send me a sign. And sometimes the sign comes in the form of a word, like Buechner got. Sometimes a sign comes in a hug, in a song on the radio, or a text message. Sometimes the sign comes in the word of Scripture, or a still, small voice that settles in on my heart. And sometimes the sign comes in the form of a cross on my forehead, made of ashes or the waters of baptism. Lent is about examining ourselves, and despite our trials in the wilderness, knowing without a doubt that we are children of God, and we've got the cross of Christ on our forehead to prove it. It's knowing that our identity does not come from the temptations that we have succumbed to, from the way the world sees us, or the way we sometimes see ourselves. Our identity comes from God. And I pray that our trust in God will be just as secure as our identity.